We pray to the Lord. Unexpected God, your advent alarms us. Wake us from drowsy worship, from the sleep that neglects love, and the sedative of misdirected frenzy. Awaken us now to your coming, and bend our angers into your peace. Amen. Well, I want you to think back a little bit for this week in your activity and more especially your thought process. I want to ask you, for example, what you did and how you were motivated, and more particularly, your conscious awareness of the fact that Jesus Christ, your Savior, is coming back. Well, if you're like me, I don't really think a lot about that throughout the week, if I think about it at all. I so often, like you, get caught up with all the pressures and the demands and the expectations of my own little simple little world that so often I miss and don't see the great picture. I should be living each day in the light of the fact that this is going to be a great event. But frequently I don't. And my attitude, of course, shows and displays that very fact. Every year in Advent, there is a danger that we're going to do precisely exactly the same thing. We ceremoniously begin the new Christian year this day by lighting the first candle of hope. And then we progress, of course, to peace and love and joy. And then when we get around to it, we celebrate this birth of this Jesus we call Lord. But the Advent theme uses those words incredibly powerful in every way. In a world that continues to embrace darkness. And that darkness creeps into our own lives and it snuffs out the very candle of life, and we have a hint of burned wax and a puff of smoke that curls up and dies. So what is hope anyway? What does it mean? How is that word used in our lives? What does it have to say to us today in modern times? Oh, I sure hope the weather's going to be fine. You know, I just got to get out into that golf course. I sure hope we don't have to do a lot of work today because I want to get home early. I hope she's going to be okay. It's her first time away from home. And then there is that wonderful, quiet word, peace. Isn't that a lovely word? Peace. It sort of conjures up in one's mind that there is something peace. It's so precious, and it's so fragile. There have been 250 wars on this planet since the end of the Second World War. And wars are still going on at this very moment. There will be almost 31,000 admissions of women and children to the 171 shelters in Ontario provided for abused women. And then there's that luscious word, love. There seems to be a whole lot less of it around these days. But oh yes, sex has superseded love in every way. You know it's the end thing. It's on television. It's in our music. And ask our young people what goes on behind closed doors. And then joy, listen carefully to the conversations around you and the conversations that you use as well. You see, the danger in this modern world is that we can be so easily sucked in to the words that have been twisted and battered. And indeed, we have, and we might fall into hopelessness, a violent, loveless, and unhappy existence. And Paul comes along. Wake up, he says. Pay attention to your attention. Look around and see what's going on. And listen closely to your head and to your heart. You know it's the time. It's an hour now for you to awake from your sleep. For our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. The night is advanced. The day is at hand. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the whole armor of light, and let us conduct ourselves properly as if it was the day. You know, as inviting as it may be, we can't sleep through life. You can't be hanging around the Chesterfield on a Sunday afternoon and snooze it all away. We need to live lives that are alert and aware of what is happening. We need to be morally awake and responsible for our actions. We cannot, must not engage in dreamy thinking that is not rooted in reality and is fundamentally absurd in its premise. We cannot say it's okay and acceptable to have 500 young people die of overdose of drugs in British Columbia this year alone. We cannot support and encourage the notion that it's okay for 210 of our own young people here in Ontario. We need to be alert. We need to be rooted in what is real and what is revealed. We cannot go on calling good what God has called sinful. We need to wake up and smell the coffee of God's word, shake off the cobwebs and the drowsiness, and start living in the light of holiness rather than the darkness of the deceit and sin that so easily surrounds us. Waking up also means taking responsibility and authority over one's life in a positive manner. You know, when we sleep, we toss and we turn, we have those dreams, and we have very little control over our movements. But when we awake, we take command over our actions and our responsibility for them. I remember my first Sunday at St. John's Thunder Bay very clearly. Father Thompson called me on the first Sunday morning and he asked me how I was doing. And I said, I'm doing fine. And then he said to me, did you plan to come into work today? Well, you know, I couldn't sleep that night because I thought that I would sleep in. And that's exactly what I did. I want you to know it's not a good way to promote oneself in a new congregation. And definitely not a way to impress your superior. You know, being late is really a chronic problem that employers face. And every year they lose billions of dollars in productivity. Anyone who's ever chaired a meeting or an activity or a program or have ever taught a class is always frustrated by the wanton individuals who arrive late. For whatever reason. And often when they arrive, they will disrupt and disturb what's going on at that time, as if somehow we were just waiting to applaud their appearance. I went to a national convention where expensive items were up for grabs if you arrived on time. It only worked twice, can you imagine? Because soon after the draws were made, people left the seminar rooms, and many of them headed for the bar. And so now the organizers faced a new problem. So along came things like champagne breakfasts, sleep-in seminars, and other creative programs. But they were not the answer. How often must our Lord reach out to us and remind us? How often are we going to walk past him and pretend we didn't hear what he said? What kind of prize do you think that we should forfeit? But about the day and the hour, no one knows, and neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father knows. So I want you to keep awake, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an unexpected hour. Do you believe that? Do you believe he's coming? I had a Muslim colleague say to me, "You know something, that Jesus? He never rose from the dead. He never ascended into heaven. And he definitely isn't coming back. But I want you to know that he is coming back." I began this homily by asking you, had you thought about the return of Christ in your own personal life? You know something, I do that a lot more now. And I encourage you to do the same. I think you'll find, as I did, that hope, peace, love, and joy take on a whole new meaning. Because now there are a possibility that it's going to be real. And leave the world interpretation by its demonstration behind. Advent is a good time to renew our spiritual life. And it's a time to really think about the coming of Christ, who will fulfill all those deep yearnings that you have in your soul. Listen to our liturgy for a while, and the numerous times that we say, "Come, Lord Jesus," or we do this because we're doing this to remember you and that you're coming. I've spoken to you on this first day of the new year in the Christian church, this Advent Sunday. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.